Like, if you're going to build anything meaningful in this world, you're definitely going to fail. Because if you don't have the courage to, you know, if you don't have the courage to take an L, if you don't have the courage to, if you don't have the courage to dust your butt and move on when things like that happen, you continue to live in fear of failure and you will not do anything tangible. You will not do anything that has genuine impact.
That was Alma Asinobi, and you are listening to the Fireworks Podcast with Jesse Dan Yusuf. Alma is presently the Global Comms Lead for Chess in Slums. I had found Alma online when she tweeted about her resignation from CowrieWise, and now CowrieWise is one of my favorite Nigerian companies or startups that is doing brand storytelling well. I was fascinated by that. I sent her a message and said, hey, I would love to interview you on the podcast. She agreed, and I'm just looking forward to you hearing all that she's going to share. On this episode, Alma tells us about her upbringing, her journey towards tech, and what she's looking forward to doing in the future. So listen, enjoy, and why don't you rate this podcast and share? Thank you. See you in the episode.
As a storyteller, as a brand storyteller, and you know, can just pick your brain a bit and see if you can dish out some wisdom for those who are looking to get into the space. Welcome.
Okay. Hello, Jesse. Thank you so much for having me on the Fireworks Podcast. I'm very happy to be here and I'm excited for the next few minutes. I look forward to sharing knowledge, insights, and beneficial tips for anyone who's willing to get into the space, like you just said. So, yeah.
Awesome. Okay, how did you get into storytelling? Was it something that you grew up with, or, you know, was it something you picked up in uni? Like, did it come to you naturally? What's storytelling for you, basically?
Okay, so by way of a brief introduction, first of all, I would just give a background. So my name is Alma Asinobi. I am a content creator. I create content that compels and converts for brands, startups, personal brands, small businesses. And storytelling is, I like to say, it's my superpower. So it has always been like this. I feel like, I feel very guilty every time I say this, because I feel like every time I get this question, the person who's asking is expecting a grass to grace story of, oh my God, I started from the bottom and I struggled and, you know, and then here I am. But so I think a big chunk of how my career started, or how my life and my abilities or skills to tell stories that convert, can be traced all the way back to the way I was brought up, right? So I grew up with a father who grew up with white people. Oh. And he was always very picky about English and our language and grammar and, you know, words and all of that. So at the age of 7, 8, I could tell perfectly the difference between American English, British English. I could tell very, very easily, between words. I could spell words that I had never heard. I could sniff words and then, you know, predict their meanings and be correct. So this was because of generally the way my father brought us up. We had dictionaries. Each of us were supposed to learn new words. He used to give us money every time we got a question correctly. I remember very vividly one time I lost 200 naira. I think I was about 7 or 8. He asked us for what's the noun of brief, and then everybody was answering my siblings and I, right? You know, we're answering different questions, and you know, nobody got it. I think maybe my elder sister got it. I don't really remember, but 200 naira was at stake. He was going to give the person that answered it correctly 200 naira, and it hurt me so much. It hurt me so much right now. I mean, now I know it's brevity, but at the time, I can never forget it. I would forget my name before I forget the noun of brief, because that really stung. That 200 naira that I lost really, you know, yeah. So, yeah, in general, I would attribute my prowess in storytelling to my upbringing. For how I transitioned into storytelling in tech, over time, my abilities were, you know, found expression in different ways. So with the way I was brought up, you know, it's a no-brainer that I had to write a lot. Like, it was just like, oh, I had all these words in my head. So yeah, just like, it was very easy. Writing came very easy to me. I used to like really look forward to showing my dad my scores in composition, in phonetics, in, you know, in spelling and dictation and comprehension and all of those things. He was very particular about it. So
So was he a writer, storyteller as well? Was he that kind of person or?
Yeah, he's a marketing professional. Right.
Okay.
So, but that aside, I wouldn't say so much now. He doesn't practice a lot right now, but okay. Yeah, he's a marketing professional. Okay. So yeah, it kind of created this space for me to find expression, for my creativity to find expression, right? Since we started reading Shakespeare at what age? 5, 6? We had to read Shakespeare. Like, my dad made us read like Tempest, Macbeth, everything. We were reading Shakespeare original text before I turned 10. I had literally almost read everything that Shakespeare ever wrote. So yeah, it was just how, so the fact that I had that literary ability, I just had to, you know, put it out in some way. And then I started to write. So I started to write poems. I started to write like stories, random stuff that were never published. Yeah, but I just wrote, right? Fast forward to secondary school, I used to write a lot. Yeah, and then I just would never let it happen that someone gets like the award for English language in my classroom and it's not me. So yeah, I don't know how I'll explain to my father, but yeah, it happened a few times actually. I had competition, but yeah, so over time I just started to write. And then, so this is something that I have been doing since I was very little. And so that's why I don't have like a grass degree story. But yeah, for authenticity's sake, I think this is my true story.
No, well, honestly, it's your story. You know, it's for authenticity's sake, it's perfect. It's great. Well done. You know, my dad as well used to, I'll ask him questions like the meaning of words, and he will make me go and check the dictionary. So I used to just read as well. When I was in, you know how Nigerian schools, they'll make you choose between science or art. I'll find myself not studying physics, but kind of like picking up my friends. What are some of the books he was reading? Some of the Nigerian books he was reading, or Othello or something. And I'll just be reading it as well. So I can see myself as well. My dad made credible impact on storytelling for me. But how did you transition from just knowing you had a gift to, oh, okay, I can actually turn this into a career? Can you remember the exact moment that happened?
Okay, so there was no aha moment for me. Really, I've always been the sort of person to like just take things one step at a time, which might sound very dishonest coming from an overthinker, but yeah, I kind of like morphed into the career that I have now. It's not like I never made like, it was just always one thing led to the other, to the other, to the other, and then huzzah. But if I think back about it thoroughly, I could say that in school, I studied architecture, BSc, MSc. I didn't do anything like relating to art or literature or English I studied architecture, both degrees. And by the time I was done, I started a blog. I started a personal blog. I was writing random stuff. You know, it was not even a matter of, it was just an expression that, you know, had adapted to present day. At the time, you know, I was used to writing on paper, writing poems, writing love letters to my secondary school. Yeah, so
you're writing love letters on the blog.
What? No, not on the blog. Not on the blog. Like, I was used to writing all those things in secondary school from wherever, I guess. So, like, it just kind of morphed into, you know, the ability to write just kind of evolved into blogging, right? And then I started sharing stories. And then I would just write random things on my blog at the time. And then I found that the people that found it really interesting, they didn't just leave one-off comments like, oh, nice read, or happy to see this, or like, it was always followed up with like deep, detailed comments, right? Conversations were started, conversations were had in the comments, like people would talk and, you know, share their own. So it was kind of like content that compelled people, right? And so I realized that, okay, this is something that I had always known that I was pretty good at writing and telling stories. And, you know, I just had a way of drawing lessons and telling stories from the things that happened to me naturally. So yeah. I remember sometime my phone broke, and then I told a story of how my phone broke, but then it was not the one time that it fell that the phone broke. The screen that smashed was as a result of all the tiny falls that it had fallen over time. And then this is also how like success is. So it's little by little and then all of a sudden. So I just told that story from that incident. And then I had a lot of people follow me from that post. I told like a number of stories like that. And then I just find that I found it very easy to tell stories from the mundane things. And then after I was done with my
MSc, blog still up?
It's currently is down now. It's under maintenance. I'm trying to switch domains. So after I was done with my MSc, I decided that I wanted to go into content creation full time. Not exactly full time, but like I wanted to, you know, focus on it. I had already been blogging. I already had an Instagram page at the time. You know, I wasn't really paying attention to it. I was just posting random selfies and pouting everywhere on the internet. But yeah, it was just like what it was. And then, yeah, so I reached out to my friend. And I was like, hey, I'm done with school, blah, 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 blah. And then his name is Feremi. And then I was like, this is what I'm looking for at the moment. Like, you know, it was just a very random conversation. And he was like, that he knows that they are hiring career-wise. You know, I should send in an application to HR and all of that, and then prepare for an interview. And then I did that. And then so I had an interview with HR and everything. And then that's how I started working at CareerWise. And then during my time at CareerWise, I kind of like built capacity. But then I'm just going to highlight the fact that the key thing that helped me transition into tech, not only did I realize that, I had a superpower and I had something that I could bring to the table, was networking. So Feremi was very key in that aspect. But before that could find expression, right? Or could even be potent, I had to have built capacity of some sort. So I had social proof. And by this, I mean that I understood that this was a superpower of mine. I could tell stories and all of that. So I decided that I would, you know, tell my stories on my blog, tell stories on my Instagram page. I turned my page to a portfolio, basically. So anybody that came on my page just knew the kind of thing I could do and that could just see my abilities. And so this, even though I didn't have like a lot of experience in tech, it's something that is a skill that could be transferred. And so it was just obvious that, you're the right person for the job. And then I got into CareerWise, two reasons: I built capacity and I had a network. And then I got into tech. And then the story has been uphill from there.
Yeah, I like how in your bio you say you are a 10X storyteller.
Yeah, storytelling for 10x growth.
Yeah, storytelling for 10x growth. And that's great because storytelling in itself has a purpose, you know, especially or business story in itself should have a purpose, right? And it's not just for storytelling sake. It's not just so that we can tell stories, great stories, but it's so that the business can grow in itself. Okay, so I was asking, what would you say is the biggest thing you learned? How long were you at CareerWise?
I was curious for about a year, yeah.
Okay. What would you say is the biggest thing you learned while you were there?
Okay. So I would say the biggest thing I learned at CareerWise is that done is better than perfect. Execution is very key in a fast-paced environment. And I say the word fast-paced with all authority because a lot of people like to say, oh, can you work in a fast-paced environment? But CareerWise is a fast-paced environment, mostly because it's a startup, and startup life is already crazy normally. But then the entire team at CareerWise is very hell-bent on growth. Like, they're very intense, right? So growth is the goal. Like, how can you, what you're doing, how is it going to translate to growth? How is this going to, you know, so you have to keep experimenting. You know, if you have an idea, you do it. If it works, it works. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You move on to the next big thing. So it's very intense place to work at, and it was like intense for all the right reasons, and it was really exciting. It put me on my feet. You know, you have to think on your feet, you have to execute. So having a design background, I could be a perfectionist. In general I could be a perfectionist, so I like to wait until things are like really, really perfect before I can ship it. But CareerWise, I couldn't even afford to do that because, well, if you do that, you'd be lagging behind, and if you're lagging behind, it would show. And yeah, that's one of the major things that I learned at CareerWise. The done is better than perfect. Yeah. So the major thing that I learned at CareerWise is that done is better than perfect. It's a fast-paced environment, and it's not kind of like, you don't take that with a pinch of salt. It's not one of those quote unquote fast-paced environments. You'd be like, okay. But it's an environment. I mean, for one thing, it's a startup. Startup life is chaotic already. Like, it's crazy. Uh-huh. But CareerWise is also very, very well, like, hell-bent on growth. And, you know, like, experimenting and trying things out. Okay, so how is this going to translate to growth? You have a crazy new idea, let's implement it. You don't think too much, you execute. Like, you think on your feet, and then you just go ahead on and execute it. If it works, it works. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work, and then we'll try something else, right? So it's one of the things that has made CareerWise where it is right now. The hunger for growth, like, we can't be where we were yesterday. We have to make like the extra 1% today, the extra 1% tomorrow. You know, every day there has to be growth. And so being a perfectionist, having like a design background, I kind of like, I'm a perfectionist. So I would say that normally I would like to, you know, design stuff and let everything be perfect first, take my time before like I ship it. But CareerWise, I didn't exactly have that luxury. So I had to, you know, like, be more execution inclined rather than, you know, strategizing and not, you know, taking time before shipping new stuff. So yeah, done is better than perfect. That's a major thing I learned at CareerWise.
Yeah. How about the behavior of the audience? What did you learn? You know, what kind of stories worked? Did you have to do like, you know, multiple stories and to see how the audience will react to that? How did that go on with you?
Okay, so like I said before, there was a lot of experimenting going on. And when there is experimenting, there's trial and error. There is guesswork involved sometimes when you're trying to... Yeah, there's just a lot of experimenting. When you're building something that has not been built before, or you're trying to work on something that is new, you're definitely... No matter how skilled you are in that field, you would need to do some extent of trial and error or some experimenting. And the good thing about it is that you get to learn more, you get to grow even more. And so with content marketing and storytelling, when I had to write blog posts, or I had to write, you know, write copy for Instagram content or something, or Twitter threads or something like that, I just knew that, okay, from my experience with creating content for social media in general, I kind of like had a hang of what to do already, you know. But there's sometimes I tried some things that, you know, were not exactly what I had done before, and just to watch to see whether it would, you know, gain traction, or, you know, it didn't work. And then, you know, when it didn't work, I would just find out why it didn't work, and then, you know, like take learning points from it. So yeah, and then when it worked, and then try to like replicate it, and, you know, see how we can use that across board, like on other platforms and channels and everything. So
Knowing that your dad was, you know, really interested in you becoming proficient in English, you know, switching career paths, or, you know, like interest, what was it like for them?
Okay, can you like come again? I didn't get the question.
Oh, okay. So what was your family, your father's reaction to you switching career paths from studying architecture, first degree and MSc, to you now doing storytelling, writing, communications, marketing?
Yeah, okay. So for context, my father is a marketing professional. My mother works in PR. She's the head of the department. You know, she works in PR as well. So I kind of like already had, would I say, an inclination based on the family that I come from, or I came from at the time. So it's not like I always knew I wanted to do that, but it just kind of defined my life in a way that I didn't have a choice. So my parents were not exactly against any, like, as long as you're done with school, whatever you want to do, that's your business. As long as it's going to put food on your table and it makes sense, that it's something that you're happy doing, something that, you know, you're proud of. So yeah, they didn't exactly have a problem with it per se, especially because, I mean, they understood it. I know a number of people who had to, you know, who had to keep convincing their parents that, oh, I'm a content creator now. And then, so they had to keep coming back to you when, maybe when they want to go and brag to their friends, they don't really remember the specifics of your job. So they have to call you back and like, hey, I'm Arachi, so what's that thing again that you're doing, or something. And then you have to explain to them over and over. But yeah, in general, I don't think they didn't have any problem with it, as long as it was putting food on my table and I could prove that it's something that is sustainable long term. And it was not very hard to prove because they have experience in the field as well. So yeah.
Okay, so there's something I like asking guests that come on anything I'm hosting, and it's specifically about failure. That's usually one of my first questions, right? But how has failure shaped your current journey? Are there things you, are there places you thought you would be by now, or just, you know, whether you would you have started something? Are there things you thought you would have started by now or executed on that, you know, did not come to fruition? But failure in general, what has failure taught you about your present journey?
Okay, so that's a really interesting question, because maybe people don't talk about it a lot, but I personally like failure. I don't exactly like, I'm not against it, right? I don't see failure as the enemy. Let me put it like, not like I like failure. God, I'm big. I don't like failure, but it's not like I like failure. I just don't exactly see it as the enemy. I see it as feedback. Which is exactly what it is. Yeah, exactly. So I see it as feedback. I see it as, you know, a way to show that, okay, something could have been better, basically. And my initial reaction is to figure out what exactly could have been better. So it's not a matter of, oh, I failed, oh my God, go cry. Sometimes it hurts. There's some rejection mails that I would receive that hurts. Even though I can't exactly remember any now that I would say, oh, this particular rejection was very hurtful or something, because I, for the longest time, I have always, like, you know, had this mindset. So I for context, I applied for something from 2018 up until I applied six times, and I only got in at the seventh attempt, and that was in 2021. So I applied over the course of 3 years. Yeah. And then I got in on the seventh attempt. And even now, like, it's still like the whole process. That was just the first process. That was just the first, like, you know, gateway, let me put it like that, that I got in. And then even till now, I'm still in the process of, like, you know, processing, like, you know, and trying to get everything together. But I've still not, I wouldn't say that I've fully even, like, gotten what exactly it is I wanted to get. It was just like a pre-selection thing. And then I got in that first time at the seventh attempt. So I'm looking at it now, and I'm just thinking, like, all the rejection mails that I got. But you know what it means to apply for something once, second time, third time, fourth time, sixth, fifth, sixth, and then seventh, and then I got in. I'm like, okay, yay. I was excited when I got in, but I wouldn't say I was down when I didn't get in. Let me put it like that. The first rejection mail came in. I'm like, okay. Second one, cool. Okay. Maybe I applied late, or maybe the deadline was this, and, you know, and then second time,
same
next
thing
time,
you're applying for.
Yeah, same thing. And then I was like, okay, wow. I'll just try and apply early this time. And then I did that. Oh, okay, maybe I shouldn't have added this document. I should just apply, add this one. Or maybe I shouldn't put this. I should put it like this. And then that was just what I was doing back to back to back, changing strategy, changing. And then I got in at the seventh attempt. And so this was over 3 years. Over 4 years, actually. So 2018, I applied 2018, I applied again. 2019 again, I think twice or thrice. I applied again 2020, 2021, that was when I finally got in. So yeah, the period of 4 years, I was on that. And so in general, failure to me is something that I've embraced over time as a guarantee. Like, if you're going to build anything meaningful in this world, you're definitely going to fail. Because if you don't have the courage to, you know, if you don't have the courage to take an L, if you don't have the courage to dust your butt and move on when things like that happen, you continue to live in fear of failure, and you will not do anything tangible. You will not do anything that has genuine impact, because for you to actually make impact in the world, you're going to have to do a lot of experiments. You're going to have to do a lot of trial and error. Everything is not going to go right 100% of the time. I think I already have that, you know, at the back of my mind. And so my default response to when I fail is like, oh crap, this is going to make for an interesting story. If I wrote my memoir right now, from like all my 20 plus years of living on this planet, it's going to be very interesting, because I have failed a lot of times. I have done a lot of stupid stuff. I have done a lot of things that are unspeakable. And I was just like, oh, okay. Yeah, okay, that's going to make for an interesting story. Okay, no, that's so dumb. Why did I do this? And then, yeah, and then that's just my approach to life in general. So I just embrace failure as feedback, and I consider it a necessity if I am trying to build anything with genuine impact.
Man, that's amazing. My goodness, well done. Thank you. But yeah, the reason I ask is, so I host, pre-COVID, I used to host live events called Campfire for creatives and entrepreneurs. And the reason I did that was when I launched my company Fireworks in 2016, anybody you would ask how to go about things, their response will be, just trust God, or, you know, now God. You know, the Nigerian answer now to this question.
Yes.
So I said, you know what? I'm going to hack this. So I started hosting events for creatives and entrepreneurs, and I'll invite them in Abuja, and they'll just come and share their story. Tola has been on once, Salem has been on one. Black writer used to work at Fireworks at the time. It's really was for me, because I really wanted to learn, you know, but I'll always ask about failure, and, you know, they will just pour out their heart. And I think many of us need to document our failures, not just for our sakes, but the people behind us. So I'm looking forward to your memoir, Alma. Exactly. By the way, if you were to name your memoir, what would it be called?
I know what you want me to say, Alma Mater or Alma Matters or something like that. Please tell me that's not what you had in mind.
I wasn't even thinking. I'm telling you, but okay. That would be dope.
Okay, good. If I were to name my memoir, yeah, I don't I don't know. I wouldn't want it to be Alma Mater, because like that's just I would roll my eyes at myself if I saw that book. But yeah, I would say I don't know, oh crap, or I shouldn't have done this, or straight, you know, something. I don't know. It's just something.
So unfortunately, at this point, we had some network issues. But while we were talking, Ama shared about an organization she's starting called Good Genes Africa, and it's supposed to help sickle cell persons. And she's also starting a vintage denim line called Good Genes, and it is sustainable denim pieces curated for stylish women so that they can make impact in the environment and in the future. I think you should check it out. It's on her bio. So let's hear the rest of the podcast.
Awesome. Looking forward to that. So that is Good Genes, right? Good Genes, was it started by you?
Yeah, Good Genes. Yeah, it was.
Was it? Okay. But you are not sickle cell. You're just passionate about...
No, I don't. Yeah, I'm just passionate about it.
Okay. That's great stuff, Alma. I'm looking forward to it. Please let me know when it's published and out. We'll push it from our end as well. That's great stuff.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. Okay. Yeah, thank you.
How about the future? What are you looking forward to besides traveling? Are you looking to build something? Career-wise, story-wise, what does that look like for you?
Okay, so off the top of my head, I would say, I mean, I don't dream of labor. I don't dream of working and slaving away in the corporate world. But if I were to say that I had a dream role, it would be one at Apple or at Netflix. And that's because like I just really like resonate with the storytelling that Apple puts out, the stories that Apple tells. It's just really superhuman, and I find like bits of myself in what I see, right? So yeah, I mean, Netflix at the core of it is a brand that tells stories through film and through visual content. So, yeah, it just kind of like fits right into what my skills are. So, yeah, I think that's it for me in the future. But I, like I said before, I'm a one day at a time girl. I have an idea of what I would want to do 3 months, 6 months, maybe 1 year, but things never go as planned. That's why I would say like, oh crap, is the title of my memoir, because like things just always like they never go as planned. But then, I mean, where's the fun in everything going as planned? What it doesn't make for a good story. So yeah, the twists and turns are really important to me. So
just so that we great stuff, love it as well. Just so that we rounding up now, what would you say, or which brands in Nigeria do you really admire their storytelling and you're like, these guys are killing it, like I really love what these guys are doing? You see them from afar and you're like, go, These guys are killing it.
Okay, so off the top of my head, brands in Nigeria, I think you should have to give me more time to think about that. But yeah, off the top of my head, I would say Norbe's
okay.
is doing amazing work. Lizapay is also doing amazing work. Curry-wise, I mean, well, duh.
Of course.
That had to come up. Zilla as well. Zilla is doing amazing. What else? I think that's it for me.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah, and Eden Life. I was going to mention Eden. Eden Life is doing amazing Eden. With their storytelling. I recently saw a video that he made. Yeah, and then I really loved it. I watched it over and over again. It was my friend Fisayo that shared it with me, and then I was like, oh, okay, yay, this is really interesting. Yeah, so yeah, Eden Life is doing amazing as well.
Okay, let me just, final question. Alma, you have a budget, right? That's, you have unlimited budget. What is the story you will want to tell the most? What is the story you want to birth in the world? Like, unlimited budget, no hindrance, no restrictions. What is the one story Alma Asinobi will want to tell? Okay, I said unlimited budget, no restrictions. What is the one story Alma Asinobi will want to tell?
Okay, so I have three answers for that. I can't say one particular story because I would say, my life's just not that specific. But yeah, so I would love to make like a documentary on my life in general, and how telling your own unique story and, you know, like honing your personality into a point where it's now like a superpower. Like, you've honed your skills and everything, but then, I mean, your personality is now your superpower, that sort of thing. It's more like a documentary of the sort. But yeah, that sort of thing, that's one. But that's just me putting the selfishness, like, I'm just putting the selfishness aside. Let me just get on with the rest of the stories. I'm just mentioning the me part so we can put it aside. The next two stories, this one is kind of like two stories in one. It's something that personally I have intense passion for, and which is the story of the Biafra War and what it did to the Igbo culture and the community. And I tell this story from deep, deep in my heart because it has close to home effects. My grandfather lost a lot of stuff, you know, during the Biafra War. You know, the evil that Nigeria did in that war is still not, I mean, it's not talked about enough. And I think a lot of details have been left, for the world to forget. Right. So they've been left out of the media. And yes, so that's a story that I really, really am passionate about telling in terms of, my personally, like my family, like how it affected my family. And then, the Biafra War and all of that. And then the next one is one that, I mean, it's just, is it, would I say it's a general one? It's about the education system and how it is not right for children. I don't know. I just think that education, what we know as education right now, should just be put in the dustbin and let's start again. It's like, is a no for me. And it's a system that is not inclusive. And when I mean inclusive, I'm not talking about race alone. I'm not talking about I'm talking about ability, physical ability, mental ability. I'm talking about opportunity. I'm talking about chance and luck and health and a lot of things. I just feel like the education sector in Nigeria in particular, I mean, the education in the world, education, Western education as we know it, is just something that is just, it's just like, oh, if it favors you, it favors you. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Right. Yeah. And that's why a lot of people, just say that school is just for, let's just go and just come out. Let's just be that we did it. But I think education should be a way to teach people how to think and not what to think.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah.
And so this is what the Western education system we currently have does. Like, it teaches everybody what to think. Do this, do that, do this, do that. But then we forget that you can't teach people how to do stuff the same way. You can't find food. If the food is on top of the tree, a giraffe can reach it. You can teach a giraffe how to get food on top of the tree. You can teach a man how to get food, like climb a tree and get food. You can't teach a fish to get food. I mean, you have to now teach him how to catch his own food from the water or from something else. So it doesn't have to be what size is not exactly getting. We can have a whole conversation on this because I'm already getting pissed as I'm talking about this right now. But yeah, I think that's basically, those are the three stories that I would tell. One, leveraging your unique personality for growth and for success and for having, like, you know, the life of your dreams. Two, the Biafra War and what it did to the Igbo people and the culture. Yeah. And three, the educational system that is skewed in favor of the people with more opportunity.
I love it. And I'm really looking forward to seeing those stories, Bert. So thank you so much, Alma Sinobi. Really looking forward to seeing the future of your career, your growth. I mean, I just came across you in less than a week, and what you've done so far has been really, really amazing. I wish you all the best in your future, and I'm looking forward to seeing more stuff from Alma Asinobi. Thank you for coming on the Fireworks podcast.
Yeah.
God bless you and have an amazing one.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the kind words. It was an honor to be here and to share my story and share insightful stuff. So yeah, I would keep in touch. And yeah, I look forward to more collaborations in the future and,
yes,
you know, everything that we could do together. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, thank you so much. Have an amazing day too. It was nice being here.
So I hope you enjoyed that episode. Alma is really a great person, has a great heart, and I'm really excited about her future and hoping to see what she'll do in our industry. So I have a gift for you. Every month I am running a bootcamp that I want to invite you to. So if you want to grow your personal brand or your business brand, every 2 months I'm running a 30 days bootcamp. Just go to Selar. That is selar.co/firedup. selar.co/firedup. That is FIREDUP. It's very affordable for anybody that wants to grow their personal brand or their business brand in 2022. This course is for you. So I encourage you to take it. See you next week with another amazing episode. Have a great week, guys.